Mental illness is epidemic in America, and the problem is spreading worldwide. It's time for decisive action, because the battle for the mind is part of a much larger war being waged between good and evil, with you as the prize. Welcome to Simple Solutions with Christian psychiatrist and author Dr. Timothy Jennings. For the next hour, we'll uncover Bible-based weapons for fighting destructive feelings and resolving inner conflicts. Dr. Jennings wants to arm you with the tools necessary for achieving emotional and mental stability as you strengthen your relationship with God. We'll open the phone lines for your questions in just a moment. I'm your Simple Solutions host, Charles Mills.
And welcome to the program. You know, most Christians are in agreement about what happens to those of us who have chosen to love and trust God when Jesus comes a second time. We all believe that, with shouts of joy and songs of praise echoing from our lips, we'll speed heavenward to live forever in the realms of glory. I don't know about you, but I'm sure looking forward to that day. But there's another area of real contention. It has to do with those who haven't chosen to love and trust God, those who will not speed heavenward to live forever in glory. What happens to committed sinners, men and women who have determined that heaven was the last place they wanted to be? What becomes of them? Here we have some debate, not necessarily about their fate, but about the method and length of their judgment. Dr. Jennings is here, Bible in hand, to sort all this out for us, and I've got to warn you, the Bible truth you're about to hear may surprise and even shock you. Today we talk about hell and the consuming fire that will eventually sweep all sin from the universe. Dr. Jennings, you've been telling us week after week that there are a lot of lies about God being told in this old world of ours. Just how invasive are these lies?
Great question, Charles. And as I want to set the context for our audience today. And in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5, it talks about the wars that we fight as Christians. It says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war like the world does. Our weapons are not worldly weapons. They have divine power to demolish strongholds. And notice what we demolish. We demolish every argument and pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and take captive every thought to Jesus Christ. And the point I'm making here is Satan is the father of lies who has been warring against the knowledge of God, trying to spread falsehood about God, trying to get us to believe things about God that are not true. And we have divine weapons of truth that Christ brought us to help counter those distortions about God. And so your question is, how deeply have these distortions about God go? And they have been going on in human history since Adam's fall. And I want to just take us through a little history of time and just show us how these lies come out in our day-to-day experiences through history, and possibly we don't even notice them when they come out. Can I do that?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right. Let's get going.
Let's do it. And I'm going to go through historical facts and then of events that happened in history and then how these events get interpreted. Historical fact, March 26, 2006, outbreak of bird flu in Israel, hundreds of thousands of chickens and turkeys destroyed, cost over $5 million to clean up. Editorial from Reuters correspondents in Jerusalem. An outbreak of deadly bird flu in Israel is God's punishment for calls in election ads to legalize gay marriages, according to Rabbi David Bozri. The Bible says that God punishes depravity first through plagues against animals and then in people, Rabbi Bozri said in a religious edict. Rabbi Bozri said that he hopes the deaths of thousands, hundreds of thousands of turkeys and chickens would help atone for what he calls sins of the left-wing Israeli political parties. Historical fact, August 29, 2005, Hurricane Katrina hits the Gulf states and over 1,200 dead. Editorial from Philadelphia. Just days before Southern Decadence, an annual homosexual celebration attracting tens of thousands of people to the French Quarter section of New Orleans, Hurricane Katrina destroys the city. Although the loss of lives is deeply saddening, this act of God destroyed a wicked city, states Repent America director Michael Makarovich. Historical fact, December 26, 2004, Asian earthquake and tsunami killed 229,886. Editorial March 5, 2006, Louis Farrakhan. We're living at a time when described that was described by Jesus in these words, "If those days were not shortened for his elect's sake, no flesh would be saved." We know that we have now entered the period when we witness a tsunami killing over 200,000 in Asia, an earthquake in Pakistan, storms raging through America, fire on one side, water on the other, snow, cold, ice in between. At the town hall meeting in New Orleans, I pointed out the high black-on-black crime rates, rebellion against the will and laws of God, and the love of partying and acting foolishness that prevails in the city. I asked them if they did not think that Allah, God, would handle the city as he did two ancient cities that lived in rebellion. I told them that Allah brought a punishment to America, but he also brought a punishment to black people, and that punishment is going to spread. There will be many more disasters that we are not prepared for in this country. This country glories in its cities and skyscrapers, but Allah is going to bring them down. We are going to know that he is God. The Bible says that at his second coming, he will have a sword dripping with blood in his hand. He is not coming back to teach. He is coming back to kill the enemies of his teaching and set up a new government. You see this distortion?
I don't know about you, Dr. Jennings, but I'm not looking forward to a God like that. If that's what the God was, I would not be looking forward to his coming.
You see, and as we go through history, you're going to see that these events, just events of history, get interpreted in ways that make God out to look horrible. Historical fact, 1980 to present, AIDS epidemic kills million worldwide. Editorial, December 9, 2003, Taiwan politician has told the country that AIDS is a punishment on homosexuals. Vice President Annette Liu has told an AIDS Awareness Forum yesterday that the virus is the wrath of God and sent to distinguish between men and animals. Historical fact, September 11, 2001. Terrorists fly planes into the Trade Center in New York, Pentagon, and crash a plane in Philadelphia, in Pennsylvania, killing 2,752. Editorial, September 14, 2001. Jerry Falwell. "And I know that I will hear from them for this, but throwing God out successfully with the help of the federal court system, throwing God out of the public square, out of the schools, the abortionists have got to bear the burden for this because God will not be mocked. And when we destroy 40 million little innocent babies, we make God mad. I really believe that the pagans and the abortionists and the feminists and the gays and the lesbians who are actively trying to make that an alternative lifestyle, the ACLU, People for the American Way, all of you who have tried to secularize America, I point the finger in their face and say, you helped this happen." 1918, great flu pandemic kills 30 to 40 million people. Editorial, religious leaders claim it is one of the plagues of Revelation being poured out by the wrath of God. Historical fact, November 1, 1755, Lisbon, Spain, earthquake 9.2 on the Richter scale, 60 to 100,000 dead. Editorial, Jesuits claim it is the result of God's wrath on the sins of the people of Lisbon. Historical fact, 1347 to 1350, the Black Death, bubonic plague, killed 34 million people. Editorial, during humanity's worst biomedical disaster, the Black Death of 1347 to 1350, when neither scholar nor priest could stem the tide of the plague, people took comfort in a wrathful God. Amid what appeared to be the end of the world, 14th century citizenry believed that humanity's own sins and follies caused the terrible disease devastating Europe. But it was actually caused by the bacterium Yersinia pestis, carried by fleas. Historical fact, 29 AD, Jesus Christ is crucified on the cross. Editorial, February 2007, Woodrow Whitten, contributor to Ministry Magazine. Why did God the Father choose a cross to be the instrument of death? Why did he not choose to have Christ instantly beheaded and quickly run through with a spear or a sword? Was God unjust in executing judgment on Christ with a cross when he could have done it by beheading, a noose, a sword, a gas chamber, a bolt of lightning, or a lethal injection? Historical fact, 2000 BC, Job's seven sons and three daughters are killed in a storm, 7,000 sheep and servants destroyed by fire, 3,000 camels, 500 oxen, 500 donkey, and servants are captured and killed by Sabian and Chaldean raiders, and Job suffers painful illness. Editorial, a messenger reports, quote, "The fire of God fell from the sky and burned up the sheep and the servants, and I am the only one who has escaped." Job replies, "The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." And Eliphaz comments, "As I have observed, those who plow evil and those who sow trouble reap it. As the breath of God, they are destroyed. At the blast of his anger, they perish."
Oh, my. Well, we have a lot to talk about in the coming minutes here. Friends, our phone lines are open if you'd like to join this conversation. 800-775-4673. We're talking about the consuming fire that is to come in the end of time. Where is it coming from? What's it look like? What's it sound like? And who is it from? Let's find out when we come back. 800-775-4673. Stay tuned.
Here's Dr. James Markham with your daily heartbeat.
Did you know that Americans are getting heavier by the year? This is causing major health problems, as this extra tissue is now named the endocannabinoid system. This extra weight or fat makes chemicals which raise our blood pressure, raise our blood sugar, causes stress chemicals to be released, all which damage our body. Now, there are many different pharmaceuticals which block these different chemicals, but the real answer is to get back at this system by losing weight, exercise, get a good diet, be active. When we do this, we'll be getting back to the biblical prescription of good health. So try to beat the endocannabinoid system.
If you'd like more information, go to heartwiseministries.org. That's heartwiseministries.org.
Flunking med school can be deadly.
Forceps? Those are forceps, aren't they? No, those sharp thingies over there, I think.
Flunking the test of life is unnecessary because the Discover Bible Course is a delightful, easy-to-use modern set of adult study guides for people just like you.
Wait, are we taking out the liver or that green thing over there?
Enroll in the free Discover Bible Course today to get to know the great physician that can heal all the hurts in your life. Why don't you give us a call and sign up for this series of lessons that will help you connect with Christ. Our toll-free number is 800-775-4673. That's 800-775-4673. Or you can sign up online at lifetalk.net.
Welcome back to Simple Solutions. I'm your host, Charles Mills. We're here with Christian psychiatrist and author Dr. Timothy Jennings. By the way, listener, we have a copy of Could It Be This Simple? Dr. Jennings' Biblical Model for Healing the Mind, a wonderful book I think you will find eye-opening, to say the least. We'll have a drawing for this among our callers at 800-775-4673. If you would like to be part of that drawing, give us a call and come on the air and speak your mind, whether you agree or not. We'd like to hear from you. Dr. Jennings won't bite. He's a very nice person, but he wants to hear from you. He wants to hear what you have to say and what you think about what he is saying, because open dialogue is the way to learn. 800-775-4673, and we'll take a drawing for Could It Be This Simple. We're talking about the truth about hell, as a matter of fact. And before we did that, Dr. Jennings took us back in time. And I have to say, Dr. Jennings, as you went through those items one after the other, I was like shivering. I was like, I don't want to look for that kind of God to come back and take me to heaven. That's not where I want to live, Dr. Jennings. But a lot of people do.
Well, a lot of people see it this way, and let's talk why this is such a critical issue. Satan, the father of lies, wants to incite fear in the heart. He says, as soon as Adam and Eve believed those lies in the garden about God, they ran and hid because they were afraid. You think of people in the world that you actually fear, Osama bin Laden maybe, a terrorist, Al-Qaeda terrorist, maybe people that you fear, somebody, a former boyfriend or spouse that used to beat you severely, that somebody that you're afraid of, and then think about having to trust them. You see, when we fear someone, we close the heart to trust. But the Bible says that perfect love casts out all fear. And see, Satan wants us to be afraid of God. He wants to incite beliefs in our minds that will cause us to fear and distrust him. Not only that, physiologically, what happens in us biologically, psychologically, physiologically, fear brings suffering and death. As we have fear, we increase the stress hormones, that survival mechanism, the fight or flight, and we cause a cascade of inflammatory event of hormones and stress hormones to go through the body, which causes worsening physical health. It causes impairments in thinking. People who have fear, think about this, listening audience. If you've ever been in front of a large crowd, maybe you get up in church one weekend to give an announcement, and you know exactly what you're going to say, and then you look out at the audience, and you freeze, and you don't know what you're going to say. What happened? Fear, anxiety caused your overthinking to freeze. People who have test anxieties and do poorly on exams because they feel so stressed or worried. They know the material, but when they get into the examining situation, they can't remember. Well, this is an evidence when we are in fear, it paralyzes our thinking of our brain. And the point being is, when we are in fear, we don't grow physiologically. The fight or flight mechanism will shunt blood out of your gut into your muscles so you can run away. So we can't absorb nutrients when we're in fear. Our immune system is impaired when we're in fear. Not only that, the brain becomes paralyzed, so we don't think as clearly when we're in fear. So we don't grow physically. We don't grow relationally. We don't grow intellectually. We don't grow spiritually. This is what Satan wants to do. He wants us to live in fear. And one of the ways he does this is he gets us to believe lies about God. But Jesus said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Free from the lies, which opens the heart up to love, and love will free us from fear. And love is the medium of growth. Love is the medium of health. Love is the medium where things develop and move in the direction that God would have us move. And so this is one of the reasons we're talking about this issue today, because it's not something that's just esoteric. It's not something that's just theological. It goes down to the heart of where you live your day. If you believe in a God like we just described, then it actually incites fear and keeps us afraid of the future, afraid of trusting Him, and it keeps us from actually experiencing the healing that God wants to bring us. So do we transition now into the issues of hell?
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, as I mentioned off the air during the break, after listening to that litany that you gave us of these awful words about God, how the AIDS epidemic, the Black Plague, the 9/11 events, the tsunamis are all acts of God, it does not surprise me. It does not surprise me that man has constructed an end time consistent with that. Am I on the right track here?
Yeah, and it's misreading, really, misreading what's going on. And for instance, in the book of Job, when I quoted out of the book of Job, if you actually read the first chapter, it's very clear that God does not act to do this. Satan brings this upon Job. But then the servants come, living in the human perspective, and claim that it was God who was doing it, even though the Bible makes it very clear in the circumstance it was Satan that was doing this once God removed the protective hedge from Job and put Job in Satan's hands. And some would say, well, see, when God did that, it was still God's fault. Well, God did not restrict Satan's actions there. He put Job in Satan's hands. Satan was free to bless Job with more power and more wealth and have the kings of the area proclaim Job their sovereign ruler if he wanted to, just as he offered Christ, all the kingdoms of the world I can give to you.
Yes,
he could have done that for Job. He wasn't restricted to just do harm. What was demonstrated there is what Satan's nature is. Satan is the destroyer. And the big sad lie that has been infected the minds of humanity is that God is the source of pain, God is the source of suffering, God is the source of death, and God is the one we must be protected from. And most theologies of the world have some appeasement system, including Jesus Christ pleading his blood to his Father to protect us from him, when God is our Savior, God is the lover of our souls, and we are the apple of his eye, and he wants to heal and restore us. It is a twisted idea that has been in our mind, and this is what we war against.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I've even heard individuals bring this down home. They'll say, you know, I'm an alcoholic today because when I was a teenager, God did not stop my hand from taking that first drink. Or I am in the situation I am today. I am deformed, or I am infirm today because of something God did. And so don't think, listener, that this is a global situation only. Individuals, maybe perhaps we, are totally capable of putting blame on God for things that happen to us. Dr. Jennings, I'm sure you see that a lot in your practice.
I sure do. Let's move into the whole issue of what hell is, because I think this is a root to so much distortion and fear about God.
Yes.
Let's start with some scripture. Isaiah 33, verse 14. And listeners, get a pen and paper, because we're going to roll through a whole bunch of Bible texts that you'll want to check later, and you won't be able to keep up with us just flipping. So get a pen and paper. You can write these down and check me out later. Isaiah 33, verse 14, it says, the sinner in Zion are terrified, trembling grips the godless. Who of us can dwell with the consuming fire? Who of us can dwell with the everlasting burning? And I ask people, okay, what's being described there? Trembling, fear, everlasting burning, consuming fire. And people go, well, this is hell. Next verse, Isaiah answers the question, who dwells in this fire that never goes out, this eternal burning? It says, he who walks righteously and speaks what is right, who rejects gain from extortion, who keeps his hand from accepting bribes, who stops his ears against plots of murder, who shuts his eyes against contemplating evil. The righteous are the ones who spend eternity in the fire, not the wicked.
Wow. Wow.
Now, this is what the Bible teaches.
Isaiah 33, 14 and 15. Okay, Isaiah 33:14.
And people go, wait a second here. Hold on. This is backwards. Exactly right. Satan takes the truth and turns it backwards. And let's take our Bibles and look at the evidences of Scripture. Exodus chapter 3, verses 2 through 4. God speaks to Moses at the bush, and the bush is burning, but did not get consumed. Acts 7:30-36, Stephen confirms this account in the New Testament, that when God was in the bush was described as burning, yet it did not get consumed. Exodus 24:17, when God came to Sinai, his presence was described as, quote, a consuming fire, unquote, but the elements of the mountain did not melt. 2 Chronicles 5:14 and 2 Chronicles 7:1-3, when Solomon dedicated his temple, it tells us that the priests cannot enter the temple because the fiery brightness of God's glory was too great for them to even be in its presence, but the temple did not burn down. Ezekiel 28:14-16 tells us that Lucifer, before his fall, used to walk in heaven among, quote, the fiery stones of God's presence. Daniel 7 tells us that God on his throne has rivers of fire coming out from before him, and 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands stand in this fire. Matthew chapter 17, verse 2, Jesus in his human body that was subject to death because this body he was in died on the cross, was transfigured and was bathed in this fire, his face radiating like the sun, yet his body did not receive third-degree burns. He was not harmed by this. Deuteronomy 4:24 and Hebrews 12:29 says, quote, our God is a consuming fire. Revelation 22:5 tells us that in the new heaven and the new earth, there'll be no need for the sun and moon to light the place because God's presence will be its light. And the lie that Satan has foisted upon us, remember he's the father of lies, gets us to believe falsehood, is that the place you don't want to go and the place you desperately do not want to be is the place of eternal burning and consuming fire, and that place is God's very presence. The righteous will be transformed by this life-giving glory, as Moses, if you remember, spending 40 days up on the mountain with God, when he comes down, and you can read about this in Exodus 34:29-35, when he comes down, Moses' face is radiating this fire, so much so that the children of Israel begged him to put a veil over his face because it caused them suffering. Now, question, when Moses comes down radiating this fire off his face, did Moses have third-degree burns?
No.
Did his whiskers get burned off his face? Yet the children of Israel could not tolerate it. It caused them suffering. They begged him to cover it. What's going on with this? It says, interestingly enough, in 2 Thessalonians 2:8, that when Christ comes, that the wicked are destroyed by, quote, the brightness of his coming. Now, this is very strange, isn't it? Because here we have a fire that didn't burn up bushes. It didn't burn up the temple. It doesn't burn the whiskers off of Moses' face. Christ was not harmed when he was transfigured in this fire. Thousands of thousands and 10,000 times 10,000 of heavenly beings stand in this fire in heaven, yet this fire destroys the wicked. Now, that's some kind of strange fire, isn't it?
It certainly is. We have a break coming up here, Doctor, and I know there are people who have, like me, been scribbling furiously these Bible texts and putting them down. And I'm beginning to catch a vision here. I'm beginning to see something, how Satan has turned this thing absolutely around. And we'll talk more about that on our return. 800-775-4673 is our phone number. We have a copy of Could It Be This Simple? A Biblical Model for Healing the Mind by Dr. Jennings. We have a drawing for that at the end of the program with our callers today. If you'd like to be part of that and we'd like to hear from you, here's the number again, 800-775-4673. I'm beginning to see a picture of God that has been hidden for so long by so many lies of Satan. Are you seeing that, listener? Is it coming to you? 800-775-4673. Stay tuned.
Well, guess what? Handle it. I've been hurt and disappointed, and I don't care who knows about it.
My advice? Don't let hurtful situations spill over into your relationships with family and friends. This is Elizabeth George for A Woman After God's Own Heart. Hebrews 12:15 warns against allowing a root of bitterness to develop in your heart. Its poison will infect you first and then spread to the lives of those closest to you. You may even forget about a painful incident, but will they, will others, with God's help and with much prayer, go on with life, silently, cheerfully, in the power and grace of the Holy Spirit? God is still in control. He is still sovereign, and He is able. He promises it. This is Elizabeth George.
No, it's good.
And it was just there. I'll get it.
Sit down.
Hello? Hold on.
Hey, get back in there and finish your dinner. I mean to tell you now.
What is it, honey? It's for Dad.
Come here. Hello? No. No, he's not. No, he's not here. No, thank you. Listen, he hasn't been with us for over a year, okay? It's hard enough without you people calling around here trying to stir him up. That was my daughter you just asked about her today. And all for a sale? I wish he was here. He'd pull you through the phone by your...
On November 25th, Vladimir Meckel was killed by a drunk driver leaving behind two children and a beloved wife. Drinking and driving is a crime that kills abruptly, but the pain lasts forever. Friends, don't let friends drive drunk. A message from the U.S. Department of Transportation, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Jesus said in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Do you long for that peace in your life? Let's return to Simple Solutions with Christian psychiatrist and author, Dr. Timothy Jennings.
Welcome back to the program. I'm your host, Charles Mills. Dr. Jennings and I were talking about consuming fire, the truth about hell. And we've discussed in this program already how we came to the conclusion that is so wrong about this subject. And Dr. Jennings has given us ample opportunities here in the Bible to find out the truth behind this consuming fire. And Dr. Jennings, you have left us wondering exactly what happens. If this consuming fire is a place where the righteous are, what's happening out there beyond the consuming fire?
Yeah, and see, the righteous are transformed to live eternally in this, where the wicked are consumed. Isn't we just got to tell you, it's very strange. How is one group transformed and one group consumed? How is it doesn't consume buildings and bushes and all this other stuff? But, well, this is a fire that emanates from God that is coming to cleanse the earth of sin, a fire that consumes wickedness. So let me ask you a couple of questions. What's a book made out of?
Paper, ink,
yep.
Plastic.
What's a table or chair made out of?
Usually wood, laminate, glue.
Okay. And what is sin made out of? You see, this is a fire coming to consume sin. One of the things that we mistakenly do when we read fire in the Bible is we think of physical material substances. Stuff's made out of molecules. Sin is not made out of molecules. Sin is an idea, an attitude, a thought, a method, a principle, something in the mind and heart. Physical fire doesn't destroy that. At its basis, sin has two base roots. One we've been talking about in here all day already today, and that is lies. Satan is the father of lies. And the other root to sin is selfishness. Now, what is it that if this comes into your mind, if you're holding to a lie, but this comes in, it destroys lies. What destroys lies?
Truth.
And the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of truth. And what is it that if you have a selfish heart, if this pours into your heart and you embrace it, this will remove selfishness. What is that?
Love.
And
love.
God is love. And so when the Spirit fell at Pentecost, it is the Spirit of truth and the Spirit of love, and they saw tongues of
fire.
But the house didn't burn down. No one got injured. What got burned was the selfishness in their hearts, the competitiveness of who was going to be greater, those barriers that separated them from each other. They came into the unity of one accord because the sinfulness, the lies, the distortions, the selfishness in their hearts got burned out. And why was it that the wicked will die in the end? 2 Thessalonians 2:10, right after it talks about those that are born, destroyed by the brightness of his coming. Listen to this. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and thus be healed. So, and let me give you one more example of this fire, because God did, I mean, there's so many examples in Scripture, we won't have time to go through them all, but this one is most potent, because it's in Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 through 5, and Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, took their censers and put unauthorized fire in them and went into the sanctuary with unauthorized fire, contrary to the Lord's command. And it says, quote, "So fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord." So here we have consuming fire that kills. Now get what happens next. Moses summoned Aaron's sons of Aaron's uncle, the cousins of Nadab and Abihu, and he said to them, quote, "Come here, carry your cousins outside the camp, away from the front of the sanctuary," unquote. So they came and carried them, still in their tunics, outside the camp. Mm. Now, if I hit you with a flamethrower, such that I kill you with a flamethrower, are you going to still have your clothes on when that's done?
Not much left. Not much left.
Okay. Get this picture. This fire that consumes sin. Fire came out of the Lord and consumed them, and they died. Really, did not harm them physically. It wasn't a fire of combustion that burns up bushes or buildings. That's not what fire came out. The tent didn't burn down when the fire came out of the Lord's presence and consumed them. It consumed the wickedness, selfishness in their hearts and minds, and thus they died before the Lord. This is what happens in the end when Christ comes, reveals himself in his full glory, and the brightness of his coming. Those of us who have been changed to be like him in heart, that love the truth, that have hearts that love others more than selves, we rejoice and we are transformed and rejuvenated to live forever in the presence of his glory. But those who have hardened themselves in lies and distortions, those who prefer selfishness to truth, when they see him coming, they run and hide and beg for the mountains to fall on them and hide him from the face, because they don't want the truth to penetrate the darkness of their heart. Christ said those who live in darkness don't want to come into the light lest their evil deeds be exposed.
Right. You know, listener, as I'm listening to this, as you are listening to this, I realize something. If I don't like what Dr. Jennings is saying, if you don't like what Dr. Jennings is saying, to refute it, you have to go back and take out a whole bunch of Bible text. You have to go back through the Bible and just take a line, ink, and put line after line after line through text after text after text, because we have arrived at this conclusion. Dr. Jennings has brought us here on the back of the Bible. We have to look at this seriously, because if we don't, we're going to be missing something and we're going to be believing a lie. And when Jesus comes, we're not going to recognize what we should recognize in that coming. 800-775-4673 is our phone number. If you have a question or comment on this subject, we'd like to hear from you. 800-775-4673. Now, I will say this. This is kind of a touchy subject, Dr. Jennings. So let me give this invitation to our listeners as well. If you want to give a question or a comment off the air, you can call that number and you can simply ask your question or give your comment to our screener and we'll read it on the air. Would that be okay with you, Dr. Jennings?
Sure. Absolutely. Can I follow up with another text?
Sure.
Because I'm going to take the text, which is probably at the heart of the evidence for those who claim that God will make people suffer physically in the fires in some place off in the universe called hell for all eternity. And that's out of Revelation. I'm going to read you the text. It's Revelation 14, 9 through 11. It says, "A third angel followed him and said in a loud voice, 'If anyone worships the beast in his image and receives the mark on his forehead or on his hand, he too will drink the wine of God's fury, which has been poured out full strength in the cup of his wrath. He will be tormented with burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment rises forever and ever. There is no rest for those day or night who worship the beast in his image or anyone who receives the mark of his name.'" This has been the text that has been misunderstood. Interestingly enough, 2 points. The Greek for burning sulfur is the Greek theon, which is the neutered form of theos. Theos is the Greek word for divine, God, Godhead. So thus, people who study about God are theologians, or they study theology because they study about theos. Theon is the fire of God's presence, or holy fire. That's what it means. So he would be tormented with burning sulfur, should actually be stated, he would be tormented with holy fire. How do we know? Because read the text. Here's what it says. He would be tormented with burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and the Lamb. Where does it take place? In God's very presence, just like we read in all the other Bible texts.
Right. Well, this begs the question then, Doctor. I'm sure there are people right now going, hey, all right, I'm with you so far, Dr. Jennings. I'm with you so far. It sounds like you have done your homework, and my goodness, all these Bible texts simply point to this. Well, then what happens to these people? If they are like the sons of the priest, and they are slain by God's holy fire, and there they are in their tunics laying on the ground, we're going to have millions of people just sort of piled up on the ground? Is that what really hell is going to be, rotting flesh in this earth?
Well, before we even get there, because we have to deal with it, and that's a great question, and the Bible does talk about that. That's actually a very simple one. Yes, what happens is that this fire that doesn't consume physical substance penetrates the lies in the mind, and it causes them to ultimately die. And then after they're dead, then comes a different fire that Peter talked about, in which the elements melt in the fervent heat that cleanses and recreates everything new.
Okay.
If you remember in the Old Testament sanctuary service, when did they ever burn an animal alive?
Never did.
No,
never
the did. Fire that burns up the physical material substances only comes after people are dead, not while they're alive.
The lake of fire,
that's
in
right.
other words.
That's right.
Okay.
So,
all right.
But how we understand then the tormenting and the suffering, how do we understand that? Well, I have patients who have been abused or molested as kids, often by their parents. And at some point in the healing process, they will say something to me like this. I just wish my mom or wish my dad would just admit what they did. Just admit it and acknowledge it so we could move past it. And I tell them, I said, well, let's look at that factually and take it at face value. If today your father who molested you when you were a child were to own it and acknowledge it here, right now, what would that be like for him to go through? Would there be guilt he would have to deal with? Would there be self-loathing, self-disgust? If he actually truly dealt with it, would there be shame? Would there be an internal agony, a suffering in his psyche that he would have to go through to work through if he were to actually own it, instead of continuing to deny it or make excuses for it? Now, if he does it here on earth, if we do that on earth with any sin in our life, we are doing it under the umbrella of God's grace, with all of God's agencies, his spirit, his angels, and all of his power being poured out for our healing and our protection and our redemption to assist us in the process. What will it be like then for the day that those who refuse God's grace, who have refused to deal with the truth, who have continued to pile up lie after lie and excuse after excuse, when they find themselves face to face with absolute pure truth and their lies will no longer protect them from their own history and their own self and the full weight of what they have done to others, and they get to feel in their mind and heart the truth of the pain that they've caused other people, what will that be like? That will be hell. That is the suffering that comes. It's not an infliction by God. It is God removing the lies that have allowed them to hide from the reality of their own twisted and horrible self. And they feel the pain of their own, of what unremedied sin does to the sinner. That's what happens. And it's so overwhelming that they die. Paul tells us...
I cannot think of a worse thing to go through. I really can't.
No. Wow. And Paul tells us that if somebody... This is in Romans chapter 12, verse 20. You can also find it in Proverbs 25, 21, and 22. He says, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. What he's telling us is, if somebody is a sinner, if they're against you, if they're selfish, if you pour out love on them, love brings burning coals to their head. And so these people who live selfishly will be in absolute agony when they truly experience what God is like as revealed in Jesus Christ. And that's the source of their suffering.
You know what? I just have a whole new way of looking at vengeance now. Friend, you want to get back at people who have done you wrong? Here's what you do. You pray, and then you love them. You love them. When God says vengeance is mine, that's what he's talking about. The love that he can give to people. They can accept it, they can accept it and turn from their ways, but if they don't, coals of fire. 800-775-4673. I love that, Dr. Jennings. 800-775-4673. We'll have a drawing for Could It Be This Simple? Dr. Jennings' book on healing the mind from our callers today. Get your name in there right now. 800-775-4673. Stay tuned.
Too many Christians don't know the truth about dinosaurs. But Christian scientist Dr. Elaine Graham Kennedy is out to change that. Dr. Kennedy is a research scientist who has done field work at dig sites in remote places like Patagonia. She has spent her life studying dinosaurs. And now she has published a remarkable book called Dinosaurs, published by Pacific Press, that is both scientifically based and biblically sound. It answers the questions many Christians ask. Did dinosaurs really live? Are dinosaur bones fake? Who made the dinosaurs? What happened to them? And were dinosaurs on Noah's Ark? Dr. Kennedy's book, Dinosaurs, is filled with interesting facts, photographs, and colorful charts. It is a must for every Christian home and perfect for reading with your kids. To get a copy, visit www.pacificpress.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
This is the Duchess of York. What's really important in your life? Of course, it's your family and your friends. But isn't it also your health? As the saying goes, when you have your health, you have everything. Maintaining a healthy weight is an important part of a happy and healthy life. People who are overweight or obese are at a greater risk for serious health issues and illnesses such as cancer. An easy way to see if you're at risk is to check your BMI number or body mass index. It's a simple calculation, determined by your height and your weight. The lower the number, the lower the risk. It's that simple. So lose weight in a healthy way. You'll lower your BMI number. Now, isn't that important? For more information and to check your BMI number, visit the website of the American Cancer Society at www.cancer.org. You and your family and friends will be glad you did.
Welcome back to Simple Solutions. I'm your host, Charles Mills. We're here with Christian psychiatrist and author Dr. Timothy Jennings. Now, Dr. Jennings, I think there's a bunch of people sitting by their radios with their mouths open right about now, and they're saying, oh my, I haven't heard this like this, but like I said before, we've got the Bible text to follow it up. If you don't want to believe this, you need to go back and edit your Bible, because this is what the Bible is saying about that consuming fire and the truth about hell. Dr. Jennings, we are at a point now in this conversation where there are people struggling with what you have said to them right now. And what words of encouragement and motivation would you like to give them, preferably from the Bible, to help them through this? What would you tell them?
I think a text that helps pull it together that we can explore is Malachi 4, 1 through 3. Now I'm going to read it, and then let's talk about it. Okay. It says, surely the day is coming. It will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and evildoers will be stubble, and that day that is coming will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a root or branch of them will be left. But for you who revere my name, the Son, S-U-N, Son of Righteousness, will rise with healing in his rays, and you will go out and leap like calves released from the stall. Then you will trample down the wicked. They will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day I do these things, says the Lord Almighty. Now think of this, the S-U-N, Son of Righteousness, that's Jesus. He's rising with healing in his rays. Now, here's the example I want to give you. Imagine that you've been stuck in a cave of darkness for a week, and you haven't had any light whatsoever, not even a candle, no light. And rescuers finally rescue you, and they bring you out on a bright noon summer day. What would that be like?
Oh, you would close your eyes. You'd have to shield your eyes from it.
Would you want to maybe go back into the cave?
Possibly, yes.
Yes, but it's painful. Wouldn't it be painful with just this kind of...
Yeah, very painful.
So what happens if they rescue you at 4 in the morning and let you sit there and watch the sunrise?
Oh, now that's a good thing.
The sun is rising. It says the sun of righteousness is rising with healing in his rays. This is the same thing as the latter rain. Jesus Christ, right now, at the end time of Earth's history, is rising. The sun of truth. Truth is being shown down from Christ onto planet Earth. And those of us who love the truth and embrace it are being transformed. We're being healed. It says, notice that the sun is rising with healing in its rays. Healing. And you will go out and leap like calves. We are transformed by the brightness of light and truth coming from Christ. And those of us who are partaking of it right now, when he appears in his fullness, have been transformed and love it because we've been watching the sun rise. But those who stay in the darkness of Satan's lies prefer the twisted images of God that have been clouding and darkening the world, as it says in Isaiah, darkness covers the people, gross darkness the people. Or as it says in John, Jesus is the light which lightens all men, and it's shown into the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. If we stay into the darkness rather than embracing the light of Christ rising, then when he comes, it causes agony and pain, and we want those mountains to fall on us, and it consumes us. And so here we have this very text in Malachi that pulls it all together for us, showing that for some, those who have been embracing the truth as it's been rising here at the end of time, being transformed by it, will rejoice and leap like calves in his presence, but those who reject the truth will be hardened, and they will be destroyed by the brightness of his coming.
My. I guess the question that we have to ask our listener today is, do you want to live in the consuming fire or outside the consuming fire? This is a new way of looking at it, Dr. Jennings. A lot of people have never heard this before. But, you know, the answer is, I want to live within the consuming fire. I want to be there with that fire wrapped around me, protecting me, nurturing me, giving me life. The consuming fire of God is someplace I want to be. That's a new thought for a lot of people, Dr. Jennings.
Absolutely. You remember when Stephen was being stoned? What does the Bible describe his face doing? He had the face of an angel, yeah, it said. Angel. His face began to have this fire come through it as they looked at him. You see, we who walk with Christ will walk in that. And you saw that at the Transfiguration, we didn't mention, but Moses and Elijah were there. In the fire. Yes. This is where we're going to live for all eternity.
And we have an opportunity right now to come out of that cave and sit on that stone and watch the sun, S-U-N, the Son of God rising. I love that visual aid there. That's wonderful, Dr. Jennings. And I hope, listener, that you have listened to what Dr. Jennings has been saying for the last 45 minutes or so with a prayerful mind. Because this is radical. Now, when I say this is radical, I don't mean it's weird. I mean it's true. It's truth. And sometimes the truth is radical. Sometimes you have to believe that the Black Plague was brought on by bugs. Sometimes you have to believe that those airplanes flying into the towers at 9/11 was simply by radical people who were out to destroy us. Sometimes the AIDS epidemic is simply a disease of nature gone weird. It has nothing to do with God's judgment. Am I on the right track here, Dr. Jennings?
There's no question about it. There is no question about it. God has been working ever since mankind fell into sin. God has been interceding to hold in check the powers and evil powers and the destructive forces that would destroy mankind. God intercedes. It says in Genesis that he will put enmity in our hearts. His Holy Spirit has been interceding in our hearts to give us a desire for good, to open our minds to truth, to woo us, to draw us. But that's not all. It says he sends his agencies to hold in check the four winds of strife. He sends his powers to hold back the principalities and powers of darkness. He's been interceding with satanic agencies, putting a hedge of protection around his people. And ultimately, Christ interceded with the actual progression of sin itself. He who knew no sin became sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. So he took upon himself our condition so that he might overcome and destroy the impact of sin on the human race and restore us back to unity with God. God's actions have always been towards our salvation. And what Satan wants us to do is to believe a lie that God is the source of pain, God is the source of suffering, and God is the source of death, so that we will not trust him and we will run from him.
You know, when you look at that baby in Bethlehem, that's an act of God. When you see that baby grown to be a man hanging from a cross, that's an act of God. When you see Christ rising up from the disciples to go to heaven to work on our behalf, that's an act of God. When you see Jesus coming the second time, that's an act of God. And when you see the redeemed of all ages gathered around the throne, protected by that consuming fire, when you see their faces radiant, when you see love for every person in their heart, that is an act of God. Everything beyond that, you can't say it's an act of God. It's an act of evil. Am I right, Dr. Jennings?
I think you're exactly right. And something else I need to mention is how we have looked at the Bible today is different than a lot of people are taught. A lot of people are taught to look at the Bible as simply a bunch of statements, proof texts. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. What we've done today is we've actually looked at the evidence of what happened. What happened when God was in the bush? It didn't burn up. We've looked at the evidence of what transpired. And which is more powerful? When you see a man beating a woman, and as he's beating her, he says, I only do this because I love you. You hear his words of declarative love, declaring love. Do you believe his word? Do you believe his actions that a man who loves his wife would never beat her like that? You see?
Yeah.
And so what happens when we read the scriptures, we have to go beyond just the declarative statements. We have to actually look at the evidences of what transpired, God's actions. Ultimately, the most powerful lens of that is Jesus in human form, God on earth. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And everything that's true about Jesus is true about the Father.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because next week on this program, that is the title of our program, If You Have Seen Me, How Christ Reveals the Father. That's next week on this program. All right, I have this book. It's burning a hole in my desk. I want to get this book out to someone. Here we go. The third caller at 800-775-4673. Just call and don't have to say a word to anybody except for the phone answer, so you can give your name and address and get the book to you. The third caller at 800-775-4673 will send out a copy of Could It Be This Simple, A Biblical Healing, A Biblical Model for the Healing of the Mind. 800-775-4673. Third caller is the winner. By the way, listener, if you would like to hear this program again, and this is one I think that you and your friends and your pastor should listen to prayerfully, here is the website you can go to listen to this program once more. www.comeandreason.com www.comeandreason.com, and we'll be happy to have you go and click on it, and you can listen to it streamed. You can download it as an MP3, as well as all the other programs in the Simple Solutions series. All of them are right there for you to enjoy. That's www.comeandreason.com. My goodness, the phone lines are going crazy. Well, Dr. Jennings, we have come to the end of our program. We just have a minute left. Dr. Jennings, could you give us a word of encouragement for those of us who are on the edge and want to believe what you say but are afraid to? What do you say?
Isaiah 1:18, come, let us reason together. Though your sins are like scarlet, they'll be white like wool. God is inviting us to come and reason with him. He's the source of all truth, and the truth will purge out the distortions and the lies. He is the light which will take us from the darkness, and it is his desire to free our minds, free our hearts, and transform us to be like him.
Oh, my, my, my. The Bible has answers, folks. The Bible has answers if we take the time to search. And Dr. Jennings, you have helped us search today. We appreciate that. All right, our time is up. Well, I think we've given away the book. Absolutely. We got lots of calls on that. We appreciate everyone that picked up the phone and dialed. And again, you can go to comeandreason.com and listen to this program and others in the series. Until next week, this is Charles Mills with Dr. Timothy Jennings, inviting you to apply the simple solutions God placed in your heart today. Goodbye, everyone.
Simple Solutions is a production of Life Talk Radio and Dr. Timothy Jennings, and is made possible by your generous support. For more information, visit www.comeandreason.com.